Vet Voice, The Long Shadow of Fort McClellan. Thank you for the article by Ken Olson, March. I went through basic training at Fort McClellan in 1961, and in 1966 I had surgery for cervical cancer. Years later I had surgery and radiation treatment for breast cancer. There is no history of these types of cancer in my family. I wondered if there was some reason why this showed up out of the blue. My daughter, conceived in 1963, is cancer-free so far. Thanks to Kathy Kiefer for getting this information out. Carol L. Hyatt, Silverton, Oregon. During Ken Olson's research, he no doubt discovered that Fort McClellan also processed and trained more than 30,000 infantry soldiers for service in Vietnam during the late 1960s. I am one of those veterans. I reported in May 1968. We were housed in a cinder block building with dozens of soldiers on double bunks. After the first few days of orientation, we were relocated to the outskirts of Fort McClellan, where a mock Vietnamese village had been constructed, complete with an underground tunnel complex. We spent the majority of our field training exercises in and around that compound, or on the Pelham Range. While learning how to do a search and cordon of a village, there were numerous episodes of herbicide spraying directly above our heads. The dust fell to the ground and stuck to our skin, fatigues, and sea rations. The village itself had been cleared using these defoliants, which we were told were harmless. While riding in a car with my wife in early 2008, I suffered what at the time was described as a severe left ventricular dysfunction, essentially a heart attack. I ended up in a critical care unit and then the ICU for 31 days, during which time my cardiologists were very suspicious of the extent of my heart muscle disease, which they soon began referring to as ischemic cardiomyopathy. I have filed multiple claims with VA for compensation and have been denied. After the second denial, I requested a formal appeal at the federal level. I read over every Board of Veterans' Appeals citation that deals with McClellan and medical conditions like mine. Vietnam-era veterans are passing away at an increasing rate. I want DOD, Monsanto, and anyone else involved in the decision to test, store, and actively deploy those herbicides to take responsibility for what they did and the damage it caused. Mark Jernigan, Laramie, Wyoming. I am baffled. Why, after all the research, does VA deny coverage to veterans who served at Fort McClellan, which is just north of Anniston, Alabama, one of our nation's most contaminated communities? Maybe I'm oversimplifying the solution, but logic persuades me to apply the duck theory here. If it looks like a duck, hangs around with other ducks, eats duck food, and quacks like a duck, it is probably a duck. Joseph M. Brady, Summers Point, New Jersey. I am a Fort McClellan veteran who has chronic lymphocytic leukemia, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, TBI, and a host of other physical problems. I've had problems with blanking out that started while I was stationed at McClellan in 1977. That's where I sustained my first head injury on active duty. I have had episodes of lost time ever since. Private doctors, as well as VA neurologists in Minnesota and Iowa, have examined me and have no clue. So I live with this. How much contaminated water must one consume before he or she has issues? Michael J. Neeland, Woodward, Iowa. I was a quality control and safety officer for a general contractor at Fort McClellan from the late 1990s to 2001. We worked on a variety of projects, some of which were remediation of pollution problems. There were areas, when excavated, where the soil glistened in the sun somewhat like oil on water, on the Coosa River just outside town where we lived for a time. You could catch bass that were positively mutated, open sores on them, and disfigurations of the body. The restricted area required that you be fitted, trained, and carry a gas mask. The incinerator was built, so we were told, due to the condition of the gas containers stored there, as they were unable to be safely moved. Stephen Hess, San Antonio. Ride to the Rescue. Thanks to John Prados, who finally credited the CAV for its efforts and successes at Khe Sanh and elsewhere during the Vietnam War, March, I am fully aware of the involvement and losses suffered by the 1st Cavalry Division, as by the time of the events at Khe Sanh, having previously been injured, I was the 212th Headquarters Clerk who wrote letters to next of kin for those killed in action or wounded, as well as award recommendations. I love the Marines. They gave their all. But the CAV was sent there, too, and I'm glad that is noted. Harold Kalachman, Lynbrook, New York. The Compassionate Prison Camp. I enjoyed Jeff Stauffer's article regarding the POW camp in France, March. I was at a similar enclosure in Florence and Pisa, Italy, in 1945 and 1946. I was attached to the Prisoners of War Information Bureau, which was part of Prisoner of War Enclosure 339. We treated our prisoners in a similar manner, as was depicted in the article. Robert L. Guittard, Portland, Maine. Federal Tax Overhaul. What Representative John B. Larson cited as objectionable regarding the tax overhaul, Big Issues March, sounds a lot like what happened with Obamacare in Congress. Payback this is not, but you get the point. Jack B. Ensminger, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. World War I Dog Tags. I enjoyed reading the article by Tom Gilbert, Rapid Fire March. It brought back many memories of my father, who served in France during World War I, at the same time as Corporal Royce Curry. I have my dad's enlistment record. He was in the Missouri National Guard and returned from France on May 1, 1919. My dad served with Captain Harry Truman and was one proud soldier. His uniform was still hanging in our wash house when I enlisted in the Coast Guard in 1951. He taught me to appreciate the flag and stand at attention at a young age. John M. Lowe, Oro Valley, Arizona. Editor's Notes. Bob Teichgraber, after 72 years, a distinctive POW photo reemerges, Rapid Fire February, escaped during the 86-day hunger march on April 19, 1945. He was not released. Carl Beams, Sr. of American Legion Post 54 in Freehold, New Jersey, Rapid Fire March, is a past post adjutant, not commander. The American Legion magazine welcomes your opinions. Include your hometown and a daytime phone number for verification. All letters published are subject to editing. Due to the volume of mail received, not every letter can be acknowledged. The American Legion magazine, P.O. Box 1055, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46206. Magazine at legion.org.